Episode 92, State Providential History.
Welcome to the Principles in Practice podcast. This is where we discuss biblical principles for life and learning. I'm your host, Heather Hall, and this is my co-host,
Brian Hall.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. It's so great to have you here. Thank you for joining me. In this episode, I'm going to share my heart with you about some of the future events I'm hearing projected by people and concerns that they have and insecurities that they have, discouragement. And I want to give you a perspective that will hopefully help you have some encouragement despite all the talk that's going around. And this has to do with an experience that I had in Virginia. Now, before I get started on sharing that experience, I just want to draw your attention to episode 9, Adventures in Virginia, FACE Summer Training Courses 2020. And take a listen to that. Our oldest daughter and I share about our experience out there for the Foundation for American Christian Education's summer training program. I think you would be encouraged by listening to that and learning about their program. And if it interests you to get a school started or a hybrid Christian school started, then that training program is something I highly, highly, highly recommend for you. Anyhow, but that gives you a little bit more information regarding this topic. It's not essential to listen to it before you hear this podcast, but at some point, I recommend you go back and listen to it. So our oldest daughter and I went through their training course and we got certified through FACE. And one of the requirements was to develop a practicum. We needed to decide on our subject, the grade level. We needed to make our own lesson plans and create our own lessons. So when I prayed about and considered what to do, I thought, I know I'll just go off of the fifth grade overview for the NOAA plan. And I'm really interested in learning more about Lewis and Clark. And that's something that I want to highlight because we happened to have a Lewis and Clark geology kit from Northwest Treasures Geology. And that's a really great kit, by the way. I recommend you hop over to Northwest Treasures and look at their kits and consider that one because there's all these samples from along the Lewis and Clark Trail along with some storybooks that help children to learn the history. But anyhow, that's why I wanted to go ahead and go over that time period in history, or so I thought. I'm going to fast forward to the third year in FACES program. The other requirement for getting certified is to get up in front of everyone and demonstrate that you can teach your lesson. So I got up there, I'm looking at all these faces, and I was a little bit nervous. You know, I'm a homeschool mom, and I'm standing up there in front of all these professional teachers. Of course, there's all of the foundation team members that I highly admire and love greatly. And so there were a little bit of nerves there. You know, these aren't kids. They are not my own kids that I'm teaching or kids in the homeschool co-op that I'm familiar with teaching. But when I looked at my daughter before I got started with my lesson, I burst into tears. I just could not contain my tears, and I did not know what was going on inside of me. It's not characteristic of me to be so nervous in front of a group of people that I just start crying. So actually, during the whole lesson, I'm crying my way through the lesson. I just could not stop the tears. And later on, at the very end of the lesson, my friend Jill White, who I hope to have as a guest on here at some point for you, she's a phenomenal lady. She had some insight that she shared. And when she said what she said to me for feedback, I knew she was right. And that was that I had such a love for my state that it just came out in tears. And you have to remember that this is during the time that things are really tumultuous in our nation over, we'll say, a little bug that was being spread around, you know. And our family was actually having to heavily consider moving out of our state. And I was just torn up about it. I kind of thought, well, I could, you know, think I could live in Virginia. I really love it out here. It has its own beauty. I really like a lot of things about the culture here. So I kind of was psyching myself up for the potential to move out that way. But it was different once I got up there and I started to teach the history lesson because I was so moved by our state's providential history. And I was thinking about how the primary resource I read from was A Struggle for Oregon by William Barrows. And he was sharing about how the Nez Perce Indians out here had gone out by foot, I think it was about 3,000 miles or so, to find Lewis and Clark because they wanted the Book of Heaven. They had ran into some frontiersmen that had witnessed to them, and they wanted a copy of the Bible, the Book of Heaven. So they got out there, and they found Clark, and they requested a copy of it. Well, they're given the news that they cannot have a copy of the Bible, and this is only because it wasn't translated into their language and they didn't know how to speak English well enough to be able to read it. And also, another dynamic is that it was a Catholic church that had a copy of the Bible, and at the time they didn't think it wise to have it translated into the vernacular of another tongue because they thought so much would get lost in the translation. And then also, Bibles just weren't heavily available back then. So, long story short, one of the braves gives this speech before he and another brave part ways to head back to Oregon. And it's so heart-wrenching. Every time I try to read it to anybody, I just start crying again. It's so heartbreaking how they were so sad that they couldn't have a copy to take back to their blind people, and they were going to sit in darkness. And while I'm reading that, or actually I think I had given the students an opportunity to read so that I can engage them in the lesson, I just started crying more because I'm standing up there thinking, but I know the gospel, and I know that my state really needs the gospel. My state has been hurting for quite some time, and a lot of Christians have moved out of my state because of the way things went down when that bug was spreading and there was a big deal about it. And there's just fewer Christians here now to be able to share the gospel and witness. And I just felt like, but I know the gospel, and I'm going to go back to my fellow Oregonians, and they need to know. They need to know about the gospel. They need to know our providential history. So anyhow, I was just bawling throughout this whole thing. So at the end of the lesson, everybody had the opportunity to give feedback, and I was really surprised that there were other people who were crying. They felt very moved by the providential history of Oregon and how the gospel was spread there. And there were these people who sincerely wanted to be able to read the word and learn more, and they didn't have access to it. My friend Jill White said that it was very moving, and she could tell how much I loved my state. And it really wasn't up until that point that I realized how much I love my state, and I love the people here. And so our family prayer ended up becoming, Lord, if you can use us in any way in this state, then please provide a way for us to be able to remain. And God was so faithful to answer that request and made it possible for us. So we're still here. And I just want to encourage you to learn your state's providential history. Keep an eye out for how God utilized people and what their response was to him about helping to spread the gospel. So one of the beautiful aspects of the biblical classical approach to learning is that we do learn to see God's sovereignty in all things, not just in the providential history, which was just a snippet of what I shared with you out of that primary source that I learned from, but also for today, because he's still one God working. He's always involved in the lives of individuals and nations. And as we research and read primary documents, we do discover his providence in the gospel spreading throughout all of the United States. And that just ends up bringing a great sense of worship in the heart, because we see God's goodness and kindness toward every person that lives in the United States. So when we're looking at the story of liberty, it's important to note that history is about Christ. It's his story. It's not about autonomous man. And more often than not, people make history about this event or that event, and they make it about this person or that person at whatever date they lived during the timeline of history. So for some, it's super easy to teach history in that way. And that's how many of us are taught how to view it. But it's really not about dates and people. It's about Christ and his work in the lives of individuals and nations. It's about the internal working he does and the outworking as a result. So as we study history and geography, we look to see how God made provision for his gospel to spread westward. No matter what happens to individuals, the vapors in the wind that each of us are, his word does not disappear and his kingdom continues to grow. So again, it's about Christ and his story. And we can just praise his name that he continues to save the lost. There was a fellow homeschool mom that is certified through FACE. And in her lesson, she had shared about a certain pastor and how he teaches the basic plot of the Bible to his children. And when I did some research to find out who it was that gave this sermon, it turns out that it's a sermon by Doug Wilson of Christ Church. And the theme is kill the dragon and get the girl. So in essence, in his sermon, you know, there's the dragon, that old serpent that's mentioned in Revelation 20, verse 2. And he's killed by Christ. He's kind of like the knight on a white horse. And the Revelation 19:11 is referenced. And he saves us from our sins in order to be his bride. And of course, individuals make up the church, and we read about that in Revelation 19:7. So therefore, Christ kills a dragon and gets the girl. He defeats Satan and saves his people. Christ throws down death, then throws a huge marriage feast. And that's the essence of that message. So there's a lot of encouragement in that for us. But I want you to consider how you spend your time. In his story, it matters how we each spend our time between when we're saved by Christ and that blessed future marriage feast that we all look forward to. With this in mind, every single story has at least one antagonist. So we remember that there are those against Christ and liberty who violate God's principles of liberty. We also remember that there are those who love and follow Christ and honor God's principles of liberty. Do Christians sometimes sin or err or violate God's principles? Unfortunately, yes, this happens at times. However, we look to see if there is redemptive work in the life of the individual and how he or she chooses to respond to holy God. So I'd like to encourage you to learn and remember your state's story of liberty. Oftentimes, when students go to learn about their state, they study basic facts about it, like when it was brought into the Union, or what its state bird is, or the state tree, or its state flower, and things of that nature. But where in all of that do students learn about God and his providence, plan, and purpose? Yes, we can point out how God created the state land, the bird, the tree, and the flower chosen to represent the state. Still, how are they being taught to think and reason biblically about their state? And what do they learn in order to reflect about all that God did through his providence? We can ask questions like, how did God orchestrate the gospel getting to your state? And in part, that's why map work is important. You can go to episode 77 and listen to Unlocking the Power of Mapwork to learn more about how mapwork and geography go hand in hand with history. But we can also ask, whom did God invite to help with this work, and how did individuals respond to Holy God? How did God use individuals to help end slavery? Is there slavery of any kind going on today? If so, how is God using individuals to help put a stop to it? What would have happened to your state and people living there in its territory years if it didn't become a part of the Union? If it remained territory of any other government, would the gospel have made it to people? Would they be under a forced monarchical religion? What other questions are there for you and your children to reason through? What can you think of? And what can you learn from studying about your state on the chain of Christianity? If you want to learn more about the concept of the chain of Christianity, which is a term that is registered trademarked by FACE, you can go to episode 6, The Power of the Chain of Christianity Timeline, and take a listen to that to get more insight about it. In addition to learning about and remembering your state's providential history, I hope that you are burdened for it. I have always loved my state. She's the crown jewel of our union, in my opinion. But again, she really, truly is struggling with her character. And of course, that has to do with who or what is in control. So since our state is suffering greatly, our family and other Christians have been praying fervently for her. And many of us are helping to educate other citizens on how to steward our state by the principles of American government, including her providential history as a nation. But it wasn't until one summer that the Lord showed me his love for this state, her people, and burdened my heart for her. And he has been using the circumstances from that tumultuous year with a bug to teach me a lot. And while many across the nation are discarding her and counting her lost, God isn't done with her. In fact, our Heavenly Father is using my state's providential history to continue to reach my heart for her. So I just want to remind you and encourage you that God providentially provides for states and his people. At times, it hasn't been easy to wait on the Lord. I think all of us can relate to that in one way or another. And we're really not sure how he will be providing for us in the future, but we trust that he will. And one thing that I do know is that he has been working in me to think and respond more like a missionary in my own state. For many reasons, missionaries are often thought highly of by the faith community. Christians say things like, "I admire how much they will lay down their life and go far away to serve the Lord in missions," or "What selfless people," or "Let's pray for them as they go to disciple the nations." Or, "Wow, so-and-so is a missionary and their whole family went to whatever place and God did amazing things." Or they'll say things like, "God always provides for missionaries, financially and otherwise. They totally rely on the Lord." Yet, a small number of Christians from around the world travel around the world to do missions. And a small number of Christians within our own country see America as a mission field itself. That all said, many Christians staying put at home aren't homeland missionaries, and they don't really quite rely on God in the same way as missionaries. Now, I'm not a betting woman, but I'm pretty sure that if you live in a struggling state, that God's not done with your state either. The question is, how are you involved to help improve things like the culture, civics, education, etc.? We have the Bible, you guys, and it's full of language that is a tool for liberty. I think it best if we wise up and apply it. For those living in the easier states, there's a battle coming your way. In fact, the same kind of issues are already implemented in your state, just at different phases or levels. So the question is, how are you involved to help improve things like the culture and civics where you live? You need to be involved through education to help restore liberty, and civics to help keep things at bay. The ultimate question is, are you a missionary to your state? You know, it's time to do word study here, so we're going to turn to Webster 1828 dictionary to define the word missionary for individual reflective reasoning. Missionary: 1. Sent to propagate religion. Christian missionaries are called missionaries of the cross. Missionary comes from the word mission, so we're going to go ahead and count mission as a key word to define. And mission is defined as sending or being sent, usually the latter, a being sent or delegated by authority with certain powers for transacting business, commission, assent on a foreign mission. The second entry for that is persons sent, any number of persons appointed by authority to perform any service, particularly the persons sent to propagate religion or evangelize the heathen. The societies for propagating the gospel have missions in almost every country. I thought it would be interesting to look up the word sent and define that. So sent is a preterite tense and participle passive of send. So I went ahead and looked up send. And send is defined as to cause to go or pass from place to place, as to send a messenger from London to Madrid, to commission, authorize, or direct to go and act. To propagate, to diffuse, to emit as flowers send forth their fragrance. So, fellow Christians, haven't we each been sent to fulfill the Great Commission? I know we pronounce it as commission, but doesn't it change your perspective when you say it as co-mission, as in we are co-missionaries in the Lord's work, committing to doing it? And does this have to be in a foreign to us land? Not at all. Webster's seventh definition of sent makes me think of the mindset of the pilgrims that Governor William Bradford shared in the following quote. The pilgrims came to a great hope and inward zeal that they had of laying some good foundation, or at least to make some way thereunto, for the propagating and advancing the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world. Yea, though they should be but even stepping stones unto others for the performing of so great a work. They were going to diffuse, to pour out and spread the gospel like a river. Indeed, they were going to let the gospel way of life flow freely from them, extending in all directions. So, in closing, remember God's providence is at hand in your state today. We can't always see what God is doing. Unquestionably, there are some things happening today that cause people to shrug off certain states as completely lost. But we can be certain that the Holy Spirit is always at work. And whether someone wants to admit it or not, the Holy Spirit is doing a work in that individual. Maybe it's a constant uneasiness and a lack of peace because of sin, or maybe it's growth in the sanctification process, but we know that there is much to harvest and that the laborers are few. As you remember your state, think of where you can be a missionary of the gospel and liberty, and then serve in that capacity. And needless to say, keep praying. Continue onward with learning of God's providence, and then teach it everywhere to anyone who will listen. Others will catch the vision. So God be with you, and may God be with us all.
As always, if you're looking for additional resources or support, you can visit our website at principalacademy.com, check out our shop and our blog, and you can also find us on Facebook at Christian Homeschooling with Bible Principles, also on Instagram under Principal Academy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Well, this is Heather Hall.
And this is Brian Hall.
For Christ and His glory.